Okay. I want to start off not by apologizing again. I will never apologize for sharing what God tells me to share. Okay, I want y'all to know that. I mean, I really, but what I want to do is not apologize, but say, I feel like for what's about to happen in January, I feel like we all need to be on the same page. And so I've repeated myself a few times, and I'm going to repeat myself a little bit again tonight, but that's because there are some that are here tonight that weren't here this morning, and I want to everyone to be on the same page. I shared this little example. Y'all ever, like, you know, magnified the sun into a little spot and something caught on fire? I believe that's what God is doing over the past 3 months. I know y'all think I'm spaced out and out of control and, you know, but it's like, okay, here's everything we've been learning for 3 months. I'm telling you, God's been showing us some stuff, and it's all coming to this one little point, January the 1st. That's what I feel like. It's just bringing and tying everything together from Sunday morning to Sunday night to Wednesday night, all coming to this one point, and then at that time, you know, maybe Jesus is coming back. I don't know. He's getting prepared for that. I hope so, but I'm just excited about that point right there. And so I want to catch everyone up and share with everybody. And again, I never want to be a discouragement. And I don't want kind of some of the things that I say and maybe even the way I come across to be a discouragement, because I'm highly encouraged and I'm thrilled. And I say things about, you know, some areas that could use some motivation, a little pushing behind it. And I know that some of you may be sitting there thinking, man, I'm up here all the time, I'm working hard, and all he does is say, we're not doing enough. No, I appreciate you. I mean, seriously. Everything that you do, those of you that do, I appreciate you. No, I'm just kidding. But really, and it's about just, hey, okay, we're on a team. Amen? I mean, let's go towards the goal. I mean, really, let's link arms, be this machine for God, okay? It's not about us doing, it's about God using us and being just this tool in His hands to truly see His kingdom advance. I'm telling you, I am praying so hard that we baptize so many people next year. Now, I'm not waiting for next year. Don't get me wrong. It's not about that. But I am just like, God, just use us for your glory. I mean, really, use us outside of here in our jobs, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. Let's bring people in. It's never about numbers, but I'm telling you, I am about numbers. Can I just tell you, the more people that hear the gospel, the better. All right? Hey, I want to have the biggest church in the area, blah, blah, blah. It's about sharing the gospel with as many people as we can and baptizing in the name of Jesus as many people as we can and then making them disciples and missionaries as many people as we can. And for all of us to do that as a unit, I think we need to be on the same page. So, recap from this morning, all right? Sorry if you've heard it 6 times. Whatever. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray and obey. I want us to pray in January and obey. Quick recap. Fire triangle. Shared that many times. Spiritual fire triangle. Lose one of the things of the fire. Guess what happens to the fire? It goes out. It's science. Whenever Jesus taught about, you don't take a candle and put it under a basket. He wasn't teaching anything but chemistry. Because you take away the oxygen, that candle's going to die. You take away prayer, your prayer life, your spiritual fire will go out. You take away reading God's word, your fire will go out. You take away fellowship amongst God's people, your fire will go out. So, back in October, what did we do? Started reading God's word. For some of you, it was an addition. For some, it may have been a start, and that's good. But you can never read too much. Amen? The more you read and the more of God's word, I'm telling you, it's like just kindle for the fire. I mean, it just make it go in. We started praying. We have a good problem. We have a great problem. Well, it's a good problem and a bad problem. It's not that there aren't enough prayer needs, but we actually have more people desiring to pray for the body than we have cards. That's a good thing. I'm just telling you that, and we got to figure out a way to continue to get others involved in praying for each other and praying for one another. So very excited about that. All right, fire a triangle, you lose something, it goes out. Here's our plan for January, for those of you that were not here. And if I'm going too fast, just raise your hand and say, slow down, I can't write fast enough. Number one, we are going to fast beginning January 1st. I don't need to explain that it's a biblical concept. If you haven't caught on the train of fasting in God's Word, read it some more. It is a biblical concept. It is expected from the followers of Christ. It is expected when big decisions. It is expected when we're dependent. It is expected when we're seeking. So we are going to fast. Now, fasting in the Word of God means and is always, I can think of one time, but it's always abstaining from food. Always. Now, I'm saying for the next 2 weeks, December 21st until January 1st, you pray, you come up with a plan for what that looks like for you specifically. It's not the same for everyone. Some of you might fast or abstain from a meal a day for 30 days. One meal. You might say, hey, I'm knocking breakfast out. You know, that will cause some affliction. There will be some hunger pains. And that every time that stomach growls, guess what? Pray. Some of you might abstain from lunch. Maybe that's your time. And close your door if you have 30 minutes for lunch. Abstain from a meal. Close your door. During that time, pray. Read, do something while we're fasting. You might abstain from supper. I mean, that's pretty difficult, you know, but if you pray and that's what God wants you to do, do it. We read about this morning about the Daniel fast, and that is basically he never fasted meals. He abstained from certain foods. The Daniel fast, it says, if you remember, I ate no delicacy, so he basically fasted from all sweet baked goods, desserts. He said, I ate no meat, so it was a protein fast. He didn't eat any meats, and I abstained from wine. That might be a challenge for some of you, but I don't know. So, what is the Daniel fast? Now, listen, I'm just telling you right now that the Daniel fast is hard. It's not hard. You're eating, but it's hard because it takes a lot of planning. Now, if that's what God leads you to do, because the Daniel fast is basically, we can get very technical, but it's vegetables, it's fruit, it's beans, it's nuts. That's what it is. It's no, there's no protein meat. There's no animal products. There's no dairy products. There's no sweets and things like that. So that takes a lot of planning. And if God leads you to do that in January, amen, go for it. But it's hard. Now, that's why I want to give us these tips 2 weeks ahead of time, because I want you to plan. Because if you just say, hey, I'm going to eliminate sugar from my diet, well, let me tell you, that's going to take a lot of planning to eliminate that. You need to do some research. You need to figure out what has sugar in it, etc. So whatever God leads you to do, you do it. So, but it's abstaining from some type of food. I want you to make sure you're healthy enough to do that as well. I mean, I have medical conditions that will keep me from abstaining from certain things, but I will do it. It just might look different than what yours looks like. It can be abstaining from coffee, caffeine, Cokes. Maybe you want to spend them, maybe you drink 5-6 Cokes a day. Drink water for a month. That will be, that when you crave, you know, I know that that Coke can be a craving, right? I mean, I haven't drank a Coke in, I'm probably 15 years. I mean, it's been a long time, so I don't crave them. But I remember back then, I would crave them, man. That burned down my throat, you know, it was a sensation that you enjoyed. Maybe abstain from that. When you start craving a Coke, well, guess what? I'm going to give you something to do, but you pray. So pray about what God wants you to abstain from. I am not suggesting that you only abstain from media. I'm suggesting you add that to our abstaining from food. And here's why. Because abstaining from food is something that you have to have to survive. Media, you do not. And abstaining from a meal, you know, abstaining from something that you kind of need to survive is, It's called afflicting the soul. I mean, it's like, it's not causing pain, don't get me wrong, but it is. It's causing some pain. And when that pain comes, that's when we become more desperate for the Lord. So media is an add-on. I am suggesting that as we abstain from some form of food, that you also might say no TV for a month. Here you go. Listen. You reap sparingly. Or I'm sorry, you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. What we put in, what you actually put into this month of January, is what you will get out of it. No TV for a month while you abstain from food. I don't know how many Facebookers there are in here. I would guess probably not a whole lot, but hey, maybe putting away Facebook for a month would be a thing. I know people are like, no TV, but, you know, Sunday is football day. Well, good luck, you know? I mean, go for it. Afflict the soul. But abstain from something. So January 1, we are going to begin as a community, as a body, fasting, abstaining from something. Make it some sort of food, change of diet some way. And then we are going to, not only are we going to fast together, but we're going to read together. We're going to read about, all right, so new year, new look, new vision, new passion. I want us to begin the new year reading about the new church. And when did it begin? In Acts. That's when this new church was being birthed. So we're going to, starting January 1st, reading through Acts. January 1, Acts chapter 1. January 2, Acts chapter 2. So forth and so on for 28 days. There's 28 chapters in Acts, so we'll read 28 chapters together. Okay? Fast, read. Number two is pray. I'm sorry, number three. Not only am I a horrible writer, I'm bad at math as well. Counting to five is a struggle sometimes. Pray. All right, if you didn't get one of these this morning, I have some up here, and I want to get this in your hands because I'm not going to see you a lot till January. There are some under the seats in front of you or behind you. So grab one of these because this is a prayer guide for us to pray together. What are we doing? We're adding fuel to the fire, okay? We're adding fuel to the spiritual fire. I want to talk about, this is not a mechanical prayer. It's not something that we just mechanically pray. You make this yours, but this gives us some guidance to pray. It really is what it does. It's just some guidance for us to pray. We're going to pray through Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 21. I'm going to go very quickly through it. He talks about giving thanks to God. So that's number one. Let's give thanks to God. Let's give thanks for our body. Let's give prayers for one another. Pray for spirit of wisdom and direction and what he wants us to do. Verse 17 is what I want to talk about very quickly. And it talks about revelation. He's saying, may he give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It says, pray for revelation that God would reveal or show each of us our spiritual gifts. So now you can see where all of the teaching that we've been learning about on Wednesdays and Sundays is coming to this. Pray during this time while we're fasting and reading that God would show us our spiritual gifts, how and where to use them. Where does God want you to serve? Where does God want you to plug in? Where does God want to use you? Where is God inviting you to minister? Where is God at work in our community? And what is your next step? Now, this is another little thing that I'm going to give us very soon. And it's about our next step, specifically for you. What is your next step? We've written and almost finished writing about next steps. And the next steps go like this. Maybe salvation is your next step. Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time. Maybe you heard the gospel, but maybe salvation is your next step. It's time for me to actually really surrender my life to Christ. Maybe baptism is your next step. You've given your life to Christ. You've never been baptized. Maybe that is your next step. And in this next step guide, there's going to be little paragraphs that talk about what that means. Very simple, down-to-earth things about what baptism means. Maybe membership is your next step. Being a member of this local body of Christ, or if you're visiting and you're participating in this, maybe it's actually joining and being a member of where you've been attending for a while. And it will talk about the importance of membership. Maybe your next step is serving, using that spiritual gift, being a part of a team, serving somehow. Maybe your next step is giving financially. Maybe that's something that you've never been a part of, financial stewardship, and it'll share a little bit about giving. Maybe your next step is discipleship, attending a Sunday school. Maybe it's discipling someone else, being a part on Sunday nights, being a part on Wednesday nights. Maybe that is your next step. Whatever your next step looks like, it is about you and God. So we'll fast. We will read Acts. We will pray through this prayer guide. We will read about next steps and about teams and where we can serve. And then you just say, God, reveal to me what you want me to do. And then the last thing is journal. Now, years ago, when I started getting into like management type stuff in my job and started having to do performance appraisals as an electrician at work construction, you never worried about performance appraisals. You know, you run 100 foot of conduit, pull some wire, hook up some motors and start stop buttons, and you're good to go for the day. Getting into kind of the corporate world a little bit and into management, I remember my very first year, it come to the end of the year, and my boss come up and said, "All right, I need you to fill out your performance appraisal." What? He says, "Yeah, I need you to basically, here's a guide, write out what you've done for the year, and then, you know, we'll go from there and see if you get a raise or not," whatever. And I remember how hard that was in January to remember what I did the past January and February and March. I mean, I don't know if y'all have ever tried to do that, but it's hard to remember what you did a year ago, 6 months ago, 3 months ago. I don't remember where I was before September 14th. I don't know what I was doing at that time. But so the next year I started just jotting down things that I did. Writing down, here's what I did, this is what I did today, this is what I did this week. And then when it came performance appraisal time and I had to write out my year, guess what? It was pretty easy. I knew the things that I did. And I would sit back and say, whoa, did I really do all that stuff? Because I'm telling you, when you're just doing things, you're not really thinking about it. And when you don't write it down, you can tend to forget. Well, spiritual journaling is similar to that. It's not what you do. It's what God does in your life. And I want you to think about this. Think 3 years back. What did God do in your life 3 years back? I believe we forget so many times God has answered a specific prayer. We forget. Now, we might remember, yeah, you'll remember your salvation. You're going to remember some large things. But how often do we forget when God answers a specific prayer? When God made some timely provision for you, right on time, there was something provided for you, or whenever God did some marvelous thing in our life. I really believe over the past, you know, it's been 13 years for me. I can't tell you how many things I've forgotten God has done for me because I didn't write them down. And that's what spiritual journaling is. It is grabbing a small journal, a sheet of paper, a note tablet, a booklet or something, and just writing down what God is doing in your life. Now, I want to encourage us to start in January 1, by journaling through this 30 days about what God's doing for you specifically. What is He showing you? Writing down things that He shows you through the Scripture, through Acts. Write down things that He speaks to you through other people. Write down your prayer request. I'm telling you, it is an amazing thing to read back. It is so encouraging to me to read back, you know, 10 years ago and just read where I was praying about ministry. And then seeing how God weaved, you know, people's lives in through my life and the things that He did to get us to where we are today. It is amazing to be able to read that. And if you don't write it down, you might have a better memory than I do, but it becomes difficult for me to remember some of the things that God did and the ways that He provided. In Joshua chapter 3, the Israelites were, man, they were staring at the Jordan River. And it was at the flood stages. I mean, it was pretty much the flood season. The snow was melting. It was raining. And the Jordan River was basically overflowing the banks. And they were standing there. And it was kind of the border of them entering into the promised land. And the priest, you know, God says, okay, take the Ark of the Covenant, and I want you to step foot in the water. And so the priest led the charge. They took the Ark of the Covenant, and the Bible says in Joshua chapter 3, as soon as they put their feet in the water, what happened? That water started backing up. Now, I don't know how many of you can control little molecules, but that's pretty amazing. And I believe it with all of my heart, that when those priests started putting their feet in the water, that water was like, it's the presence of God. And it started backing up. And now, I do have a little weird sense of humor, I guess. I don't know. But I'm thinking about the guys way down there in the Jordan River fishing. You know what I'm saying? Fish. You know, they didn't need the fish pole. But anyway, as the priest walked in there, that water starts moving back, and it says that all of the Israelites crossed on dry land. Now, I want to read to you Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, he says, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, bring them over with you and lay them down. Take 12 stones and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Now flip over to verse 19. It says, the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, the ones that God commanded them to take out of the water and pile up, those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So as there was this huge victorious moment in the Israelites' life, God said, build a, not something to worship, but build a remembrance, something to remember. When you see those 12 stones, you can remember what God did. Not only can you, but hey, when your children come, this is what God did. I'm telling you, I would absolutely love, and if any of you are willing to allow this, I would love some of you saints in this church that have been walking with the Lord for a long time, and if you've journaled some of that, I would love to read some of the things God has done in your life. That brings so much encouragement to me, because I can look back at maybe a time that you were struggling, you were going through things, and see how God brought that from you. I read the early church fathers. You know, they journaled a lot. I read their stuff. I'm telling you, you can, and it just brings so much encouragement. And this is what God is saying here. Hey, take a time to set something up where you can remember these things, where you can remember. A journal is a place to store these victories. That's what a journal is. It's a place to store these victories. Now, I found something a little, it's not humorous, it's I don't know. In Psalm chapter 77, this is a psalm of Asaph. In verse 11, this is Psalm 77, verse 11. The psalmist says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. So Asaph is saying, I'm going to remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I'll remember your wonders of old. Now, one more chapter, Psalm 78, this is Asaph, verse 11. All right, Psalm 77, verse 11 says, I'll remember the deeds of the Lord. I'll remember those. Psalm 78, verse 11 says, they forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. When you think about that. Now, this is not Asaph saying, I forgot, but he's saying that, hey, he's saying, I'm going to remember these things. I'm going to journal about them, maybe. I'm going to read them. I'm going to remember them. And then the children of Israel, the ones that made the mistake, they forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. Verse 41 of Psalm 78 says, they tested God again and again. They provoked or they vexed or they limited the Holy One of Israel. And he goes on to tell us how they limited him. It says, they did not remember his power or the day when he redeemed them from the foe, when he performed his signs in Egypt and his marvels in the fields of Zoan. He turned their rivers to blood so they would not drink of their streams. And he goes on just to kind of recount all of these mighty things that God did. And the psalmist is like, listen, he gives them a little bit of a warning in Psalm 77 saying, I'm going to remember the things of the Lord. And you should too. You should remember the things that he's done. Not just the big victories, but the small victories. The little provisions, the little things that he gives you. And by journaling, we remember those. And in Psalm 78, he's saying, the children of Israel didn't even remember the big stuff. And they limited the Holy One of Israel, or they provoked him, or they pained him. So how does that limit God? How does not journaling or not remembering these things kind of limit God? Well, I believe that often fear keeps us from moving forward. Fear does. Fear of God not providing. Fear of kind of an unknown step. Fear of not trusting myself. A lot of times I believe that fear keeps us from moving in a direction that God's calling us to move. Now think about if you were facing a situation and it was something about God providing, whatever it might be. It could be providing financially, it could be providing resources, it could be providing wisdom, it could be God providing. And then you look back and you read where 15 years ago God provided something for you in a situation. Now if you read that, and then you prayed about this next step that he's calling you to do, and there's a little bit of fear, would that bring you some encouragement to move forward? Would it? I mean, it would. So by not remembering the things that God has done for us, even the little victories, I believe it limits God in our life, because in situations, it will keep us from moving forward in some places. So, man, not only is journaling helpful, I believe it's essential for our walk. I really do. And I hope that if you don't journal, that this January you will journal your experience these 30 days, and then that will just set something in you that you will continue to journal. Now, it's hard. It's a discipline. It really is. And for me, what was so hard about it, because I'd go to Lifeway and I'd buy me one of those fancy little books, kind of looked like this, and it had the pages, you know what I'm saying? And I wanted everything to be just right. I wanted my handwriting to be nice in case somebody ever, you know, I pass away and, you know, my journals become famous. No, I'm just kidding. But I wanted my handwriting to be just right. I wanted all my spelling to be right. I wanted those things. And if I would mess up, I didn't want to scratch it out because I didn't want to mess up my nice little journal. I got over that. I'm just telling you. I just write my thoughts on a piece of paper now. If you ever read one of my journals, please, spell check. If you're a teacher, put the red pen away, because you would not be able to read what I wrote. Because when I'm writing, I'm just writing to the Lord. I'm writing. I'm not worried about those things. I'm bad at it anyway. But so my encouragement to you when it comes to journaling is, number one, do it. I'm serious. Do it. You will be tremendously encouraged, not by only journaling through these 30 days, but here after those 30 days. You will be tremendously encouraged. So how do you do it? I mean, you grab a sheet of paper and you start writing. January 1, 2015, this is the year, Lord. This is it. God, show me something this year. God, I'm scared. I have fear. I mean, what's going on? I need wisdom. God, just show me those things. Just start writing your thoughts down on a sheet of paper. January 2nd, here it is, Lord. Day one of the fast. I'm hungry. Amen. You know? God, you've set a crazy guy in our church, and is this the right thing? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Just write your thoughts out and your heart out to him. Your way of journaling is the right way. Can I just say that? Your way is the right way. My way is the right way. Does it need to be on loose sheet of paper? Sure, whatever. Does it need to be on a nice little fancy journal? Sure, whatever. Does it need to be on this little thing? Because I know y'all don't take sermon notes. So you need to cut this out and write it right here? Sure, whatever. Just write. I mean, really, just write. I want to encourage you. I mean, because reading through my journals, now I don't do it as often as I should. And every time I pray about it and think about it, I'm like, God, why don't I do that? When I read through them, there is just so much inside of me that gives me confidence to continue moving in the direction that I'm moving, because I look at all the things that God has brought me through, all of the ways that God has provided, all of the answered prayer that I had forgotten about, and when I read them, man, I'm spiritually strong. I am. So January 1, let's fast. Amen? Let's read. Acts is what I'm encouraging us to read. Let's pray through this little prayer guide. Let's ask, seek, and knock God, and for God to reveal things to us, to show us what He wants us to do, to reveal our spiritual gifts, to give us wisdom, to, I have on here, pray about your sin and disobedience. Because, let me tell you, that's a hindrance. My sin is a hindrance. There's a warning to us men where it says, are your prayers not getting answered? Do you feel like your prayers are hitting the ceilings? Well, guess what? How are you treating your wife? That's a tough little deal there. How are you treating your wife? Pray about those things. God, show me where I'm not, you know, treating my spouse in the way that I should. God, show me where I have negativity in my heart. Show me where there's unforgiveness. Show me where there's gossip. And I just listed some things that I've battled and still battle in some areas. Show me these things, Lord, and don't just show them to me, but give me the strength to overcome them. Give me the accountability. Give me the fellowship to move past these things in my life. So, read, fast, read, pray, and journal. January 1, it's going down. I am pumped. We were talking about this with the young people tonight, and this, we realized this, and you guys know that they're going to the Passion Conference this year. That Passion Conference starts January 30th, 31st, and ends on February the 1st. Can you imagine a young person's heart going into one of the largest conferences of worship and the Word after a month of praying, fasting, and seeking the Lord? That's going to be overload for them. I mean, it's like, I want all of us to go now. You know what I mean? I mean, we're too old, but I'm excited for them. I am super excited about a month of us coming together, seeking the Lord, abstaining from something, reading together, praying together, seeing what our next step is, journaling together, and then allowing God to move mightily in and through us. I can't stop thinking about it. I really can't stop thinking about it. I wake up at night at 2, 3 in the morning, and I just start praying about this stuff. That's why I've told y'all this morning, I believe that 2015 is going to be the year that we compare other years to. And it's going to be 2016, we're going to be like, dude, do you remember 2015? 2017, we're like, do y'all remember that? And it's not like, you know, we're going to be living in the past, but I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. Help me. My mind is like a little mouse in there running off his chain. So I apologize for this. Let's do this together. As a body, moving forward, not for us, not for First Baptist Church Orangefield, not so that we can be spiritually proud, but so that God's name can be magnified and glorified and His kingdom can be advanced. Amen? So, my heart's beating fast. Y'all have no idea what it's like to do this. Anyway, all right, let's stand. I hope that I didn't repeat myself too much. And I'm praying that tonight you would be encouraged, because I am super excited about what's coming up. Now, I will share this with you. Another thing that I'm excited about is what I believe God is leading me to preach beginning in January, which is the I Ams of the Lord, Sunday mornings. I want you to think about, and we're going to start January 4th, I'm just going to preach about Moses encountering the burning bush and him saying, who do I tell him? And he says, I am that I am. There's so much significance and depth in that. And then all of the places where God and Jesus said, I am. Woo! Talk about, I don't know, I'm getting chills. Thinking about praying, fasting, reading, and then just being encouraged by God saying, this is who I am. And guess what? You are one of my children. And you have an inheritance, and this is who I am, and this is the inheritance that I have for you. Amen? So I'm sorry, I forgot. All right, let's pray.